And all the choir again and the instrumentalists, all that have played a part in this morning, thank you for using your talents and gifts for the Lord, and thank you for being here again. Once again, I tell you that. And if you're joining us via live stream, thank you so much for joining us that way. I met different folks this week that said we join in, tune in to you each week, and then I met folks last week that listened to the radio. If you're listening on the radio, this is from the auditorium of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we're certainly thankful that you have joined us today. We're looking forward to a great time in the house of the Lord, as we've already been having, and a good time in the Word of God, and I trust it'll be a blessing. This morning, I want to preach a message that I'm convinced, as much as I can be, that the Lord wanted me to preach it this morning. Had I been trying to orchestrate some things, I might have chosen differently, with some losses that we've had this week, with deaths and different things. Perhaps I would have chosen something different, but I'm completely convinced that the Lord wants me to preach on the Word of God. Amen. Here at the beginning of the year, how precious it would be for your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we typically apply that to folks that need to be saved. They've got to have the Word of God. They've got to have some the teachings of the Word of God. They've got to have the story of the cross, the gospel. But that's also true in your Christian life, that faith is grown by getting into the Word of God. These things have I written unto you, and the Scriptures talk about that. And I want to preach about it because, as you know, we've been giving out Bible reading schedules. It's not really important to me how you read through the Scriptures, and honestly, there'd be some that would be a lofty, lofty goal to read the whole thing in one year. Maybe you need to break it down. I'm not here today to tell you how to do it. I'm just saying that the Word of God is precious. It ought to be precious like our daily bread, as the Scripture says, and that we ought to get it into us, because there's many a battle that's going to be won without having to go to the battlefield if you just stay in the Word of God. In this class that was taught in here, Brother Joe Shaw had mentioned some specific illustrations of how just reading the Scriptures through a certain season of life, God brought him to a particular promise, and that promise tided him over until, well, maybe not the battle was over, but at least until he was through slightly to the other side. And I believe that could happen again and again in all of our lives if we just, you say, how would it work that I was reading in the right place at the right time in my right problem? That's God. I don't know how it works. It just works. His ways are above our ways. And so I'd love to get you in to the Word of God, and I trust that you would think about that. We're going to look in, let me tell you this first, then I'll tell you where we're going to look. I watched an illustration of somebody who was at least speaking, preaching, if not preaching, he was speaking. And he gave this illustration. He said, somebody said, I can drive 2,000 miles in one day. I can just make it happen. I can do it. And the guy challenged him. He said, you can't. He said, I'm just going to make it happen. And the guy said, you'd have to drive 83.3 miles per hour for 24 hours straight without stopping. And the first guy answered back, I don't agree with you. But that's just math. 24 hours, 2,000 miles in 24 hours, that's what you got to do. But you know, as silly as that illustration sounds, there are people that you and I deal with that will be so determined that what they think is truth, no matter the fact that you show them. If you're in sales, they'll say, that's not right. And you could be showing it to them on black and white paper. This is the contract you signed. If you're in the medical profession, that's not possible. I don't know what's possible, and I know that that's what happened. We are dealing with people, and that fellow that was giving that illustration went on, and he said this, and it's so true, that we have gotten to a place in our society where we don't want our opinion recognized, we want our opinions validated. Meaning that we're dealing with people, and we fall right in there, so don't get all looking down at the other people. We don't want just people to pat us on the head and say, okay, if that's what you want to believe, go ahead. We instead want them to say, your opinion is just as valid and valuable as the truth. But remember, there is only one truth. I can't see out the windows good enough, but it either is raining or it is not raining. I saw enough of your clothes when you came in, coats and things, that had specks all over them. So when you came in, it was raining. But you're not going to walk out there and say, no, it's not raining. It's sunny. In my world, it's sunny. Eventually, you're going to have to say, we don't give a hoot about your world. You don't get a rain umbrella, you don't get wet. So there's a famine for the truth. And in our lives, we have got to build it around the Word of God. Amen. Something has to be true. If you get an owner's manual for your product that you buy, in that owner's manual are detailed instructions of how to get it set up. Now, I know us men, we don't look at it. It's like a challenge. We're going to do it without the help of the instructions. But there's a body of instructions that tell you how to set it up, how what to do when it doesn't function, and who to call when you finally can't get it figured out. All those are written specifically for that device. Folks, there was a book written specifically for this device. For life, it's the Word of God. Amen. I'm not going to preach to you about the power of it. I hope that that's probably already known. But I'm going to preach to us from Acts chapter 17 about the importance of getting into it on a regular basis. As you find your place in Acts chapter 17, verse number 10, we'll look at those first few verses. But as usually, I try to start off with something funny. And I did hear this story just right before church. You're lucky. I was right at the right place at the right time. I won't tell you who told it to me, unless it's a total bomb, and then I'll tell you what buddy's name was. I heard a story about this farmer. He had this mule. Every time he went into this barn, his ears hit the top of the barn, above the doorway, hit those. Man, it just set him off. He just got mad and rambunctious inside of there. Every time. Farmer finally got tired of it. And so he got some buddies of his, and they were going to jack that barn up so that it would clear a few extra inches and that mule wouldn't hit his ears. And so they were there jacking that up. Another farmer came over and said, what's you doing? He said, well, I'm jacking this barn up so when my mule walks in there, it doesn't hit his ears. He said, wow, that's a big job. He said, you better believe it's a big job. He said, you're jacking that barn up 4 inches so he doesn't, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. He said, the mule just a little too tall, exactly. He said, why don't you just dig the floor out right there where the doorway is? He said, well, you idiot, it's not his feet, it's his ears it's hitting. So, well, buddy, I don't know if it went over or not. So that was compliments of Buddy Callahan. So I don't think it's going down any books, buddy. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse number 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogues of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Who? These ones in Berea, these Christians. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. I'll stop my reading there. These people in Berea, you understand that they were receiving the word of God. And they were searching the scriptures daily. And the Bible just calls them out. They were doing better than the Christians over at Thessalonica because they weren't doing so. Can I tell you that we had Bobby Brown got up and talked about Ridge Kids are opening and we're not truly open house yet. There's still a few little things. And the men that have done that, Roger Cox has led that. And the men have just done such a phenomenal job. I just can't wait for you to get there and see it. But do you know why it's so important that we get this space done and we reach more families? Because our society and even our little neck of the woods is becoming biblically illiterate. When I was a kid, so that's not been that long ago. I mean, I'm getting up there, but it's not that long. I remember that there was a TV commercial for Kroger, or a grocery store, and a little cartoon video of some fella come out and had a boat behind him, and he said, I'm Noah. He said, that's all just Noah. I never buy just one of anything. And he was talking about a buy one, get one free sale at Kroger. Well, you know that would fall on many, many deaf ears if young people of today watching. Now, obviously, they weren't shooting at me. I was a kid. I wasn't going to go buy groceries. Mom did all that. But I knew what it meant. And so did about everybody else that was watching that. But we find out from our Sunday school teachers as young people come in that the stories that you know as well as you know your name about Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath, that many of our young people in our society, they have no clue who those people are. We again have a famine of the Word of God. Now, I can't do anything about the unsaved people who aren't here this morning, but I would say that all of us can determine that we are going to be people of the book. And so I want to preach to you for just a little while and trust that the Lord would bless us in these next 15 minutes or so. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us your touch, I pray, and we will certainly thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see in this passage the people of Berea, they received the Word of God and they received it with a readiness of mind. They were open. Give it to me. Come on. Come on. Give it to me. I want the Word of God. I'm going to take it willingly. It's not forced against me. You know, I grew up on a farm. Dad had animals most of the time when he was growing up. And some Christians, I believe, are about like some of those calves that we would have to medicate. We would sometimes give it to them by shot, but other times you have to get a pill down their long mouth. And so you'd have to get this long, slender thing that had a opening at the end for a pill to get in there. You push that down and then you pop it down in there. Whether they want it or not, they're getting the medicine. And sometimes that's about the way I feel like us Christians are, that the Lord almost has to wrestle us to say, I'm going to give you these prayer promises, that because we are not searching for the Scriptures daily. All of us, we get in that. We live in the busiest of times in this nation that I believe we've ever had. And so if we're not careful, we'll stay busy from daylight till dark, and we won't have had time to pull aside and do what the Scripture says about these Bereans. They received it with all readiness of mind. You understand that Christian people have always been people of the book. And I want us to sign on again today. Regardless of what everybody else in this room or online does, you can sign on today. I want to be a person of the book. You say, I'm behind times. I didn't grow up in a Christian school, neither did I. I didn't get in a Christian family. I did do that. But I didn't get to all this, and I didn't get to do that. Matters not where you are right now. It matters more that you say today, I want to become a person who dives into the Word of God. I want to be the person that gets into God's Word and lets God's Word get into me. I may not all understand it all. Anybody in this room understand everything in that book yet? The greatest Christians I know would say every day, John, not every day, every time I ask them, John, I'm still finding things out about the Word of God. What kind of author would we have if you understood it all the first time? God reveals stuff again and again. I heard of a person that said, when I read it as a father, I understood things through that book that I needed as a father. When I read it as a spouse, I understood things I needed to know as a spouse. When I read it as an adult child, I knew things that I needed to know as an adult child, how to treat my parents. When I read it as a business owner, I read or understood it as a business owner. When I read it as a child of God, I understood how I understood things I needed to know as a child of God. But let me get into what we see here right from the passage. In verse number 11, we see that they received the word. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word. They were ready to receive it. Have you seen the guy before when you're watching maybe a baseball game and he's got his own glove out there in the outfield? He's all decked out with his jersey on. Maybe he's got other things on. He's got his glove. He is ready for a fly ball or a long ball, whatever, wherever he's sitting at, depending. He's ready for it to come his way. He's not going to catch it barehanded. He went to trouble to get his glove. He took it into the park with him, and there he's got it, just hoping that somebody knocks one over his way, because he's going to knock kids out of the way and break hearts of little people everywhere and say, I'm going to catch this ball. He's ready to receive it. And I wonder, when was the last time that I sat down for a lengthy period of time and said, Lord, I am ready to receive it. They searched the scriptures, the Bible says, later, but with first of all, they received it with all readiness of mind. Isn't it amazing what we can hear and assume it's always toward other people? Amy and I, we always call that spiritual basketball. Pass it here, Pastor. Whatever you're preaching, pass it to me. I know exactly who needs to hear it. And then we grab that scriptural basketball and we toss it over to somebody else. Oh boy, she needed that today. Did you see how she came to church? Did you hear what they were saying? But these people, they just received it. I heard a funny story about this pastor. He took a small church. It's a true story. He took a small church. It was in a timber milling town. One day he saw some of his members. They were actually floating down this small river on the logs. And so he said, man, that's good. He was happy to see his members working. But as they got down toward closer to the mill where they floated them all down that way, he saw them cutting off the ends that had the band of the logging company that brought them up river, and then they'd put their band on it so that they would get credit for that and then they could get the money. So he said he preached a sermon on that Sunday, and it preached it about thou shalt not steal. He thought, man, I really scalded them. I let them have it. And he said at the back door, even the loggers, as they come out, a lot of them in the little church said, preacher, that was a good message. That was good. I liked it. I appreciate it. Man, that's good. Preach it. Keep going. And he thought, mission accomplished. They got the point. He said, I thought that until I went back out and watched the same thing this week. And so they were still riding the logs down, and then they'd cut the ends off and discard that had a band of another logging company, and then they'd put their band of their logging company, and then they'd get illegal credit for their company, and so they'd get money for that. So he said, boy, oh boy, oh boy. He said, I'm not going to be as broad as I was. He said, so the next week he preached, thou shalt not cut off the end of thy neighbor's log and put your band on that log. The next week they let him go. But there were a group of people who they weren't getting the message. But the Berean people said, Lord, give it to us. Back a truck up. Dump it on me. I can take it. And I want to know if I'm that kind of Christian. If I look for all the reasons why God's not speaking to me when he's saying these things, or if I'm saying, Lord, is it me? Is it I? So they received the word. But not only did they receive the word, look on in verse number 11. The Bible says they searched the scriptures daily. They didn't only receive it, but they retreated into it. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So they said, Lord, give it to me. But then they actually turned themselves down into it. And they retreated in to the Word of God. As I told you, many of you weren't in this class for the Sunday school hour, but Brother Joe Shaw gave testimony of how different seasons of his life, God allowed him to retreat into the Word of God and the Word of God to get into him. And I'm asking you, I think last week or so, I asked for different prayer promises that God has used in your life to get you through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Hebrews says that Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We see that they not only received the word, but they retreated into it. They searched. And they searched diligently. I read a story of Randy Hoyt who watched helplessly as his wife went into an emergency C-section to deliver their seventh child. And he gave testimony of how the Lord didn't see fit to let his wife make it. And the baby was born by C-section, only made it a little over 2 weeks. And so now he's a single dad with six children at home. But he gave testimony of how God provided miraculously, not financially, although I'm sure he did that as well, but he gave testimony of how God provided in that season through promises in the Word of God. And this faithful husband, with the loss of his wife and the loss of their newborn, six children at home, said, I was able to retreat into the Word of God, and the Word of God was such a comfort to me in that season. Lifeway organization, which is the publishing arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, through studies say that only 19% of churchgoers, by polling, only 19% of churchgoers read the Word of God every day. Now, I'm not talking about, I try to read every day, but I missed the day last week. That's not talking about that person. This is talking about somebody who has no intention of reading every day. 19% of churchgoers, Protestant, whatever, Protestant churchgoers, 19% of them read the Bible every day. In that same poll, there are less than 30% of church-going Christians who have ever read the Bible from cover to cover, all the way through. Now, contrasting that, they said that 90% of all those polled want to please Jesus in everything they do. But you can see where it doesn't add up. If you want to please Jesus, He left one book for us to read, but we don't find ourselves in it on a regular basis. Now, please, again, don't misunderstand this message. This is not the time to beat you up because, well, I tried last week, but I missed a couple days. That's not what I'm talking about. You might have brushed your teeth a couple days too, but you'll hit it again this week. Amazing how it's easy to miss that at night, but you never do it in the morning because you're always going to see somebody. But with 19% of the church-going Christians saying they get in the Bible daily, folks, it's no wonder our society has gotten biblically illiterate because our churches have gotten biblically illiterate. And I'd like for us to bind together and say, by God's grace, I'm going to be a Bible-reading Christian. They retreated into the Word of God. And then lastly, we see in verse number 12, therefore many of them believed. So the story runs that Paul and Silas, they go over to Berea, and when they get there, the people receive the Word of God, and then they actually go home and check it out daily to see, search the Scriptures, see whether those things were true or not. And therefore, because of that, in verse number 12, many of them believed. So not only did they retreat into the Word of God, but they responded to the Word of God. Because of their reception and their retreat into it, many around them believed. It's amazing what testimonies we might have of friends, neighbors, relatives, when we truly get in the Word of God, of how we were able to share the Word of God with them. We truly dive into it. But it's got to change us. And so can I tell you this truth from my life, then I assume it's in everybody's life. If I'm not careful, I'll read the part that I've got to read that day, and my eyes will go across every word. But then at the conclusion of that three, four, whatever chapters it is, if I'm honest, I have to say, I don't recall much of that. And so that's why the Scripture says here that they searched the Scriptures, whether those things were so. They had readiness of mind, and then it meant so much to them that many of them around there believed. So I'm going to ask you not only to set out on a course to get the Word of God in you every day, but that you truly let it get in you and you understand what we're reading. Such a readiness to believe and a retreat, or such they retreat in it so much that they responded. And I'd love for you today to get to a place to say, I'm going to read the Bible, not just to say I've read it, but to see what God wants me to do today. What does He want me to do with what I read? During World War II in England, Winston Churchill, the leader of the United Kingdom's forces, he had called the laborers together because there was a shortage and they needed an increase in the production of coal to run the plants that were providing the ammunition and the weapons and all that. But he called the labor groups together and he told them to envision the end of the war. It's so interesting. He said there will be sailors who kept the sea lanes open for the war. He said there will be soldiers who came home from Dunkirk to defeat Rommel. He said there will be pilots that drove the Luftwaffe from the sky. And then he said, then the last of the long line, there will be a group of sweat-stained, soot-streaked men in miners' caps. And he said, the crowd will ask, where were you during the struggle? And he said, you'll be able to say to them, we were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal, doing what we needed to do to win the war. Those men were moved by the words of their leader to get down with where they could work and labor to help end that horrendous war. And I say that because I would love for us, from our Lord and Savior, as He gives instructions daily through His Word, if only we'll look. If we would say, I may not be the mouthpiece, I may not be the pilot, I may not be the soldier, but He can tell me instructions through His words, and I would not only receive them, but I would also respond to them. And we need to rally around our Savior, Jesus Christ, and say, there's only one book that you've left for us. Oh, I suggest people read lots of books, but live in the Bible. Study lots of them, as one old preacher said, but live in this book. We have a daily need to rally around the Word of God. And so in this passage, these Bereans gave us the example that all of us could show. There's a Sunday school class here called the Berean class, and that's labeled from this group of people. Wouldn't we be those ones that got in to the Word of God? Why were the Bereans more noble, the Bible says in verse 11? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. It certainly wasn't because their buildings. They weren't even having any buildings yet. It wasn't for their reputation or wasn't for their money. But it's because they received the Word of God. They retreated into it, dove down into it, searched to see where those things would be true. And they responded by giving it out to some other people, and those ones were saved. With only 19% of the churchgoers getting in the Word of God daily, it's clear to see that we have some work to do. You say, oh, preacher, ours is much better than that. Well, let's say it's double. Let's say it's triple. Let's say it's quadruple. That still doesn't put us at 80%. And again, I'm not concerned about how you read. You go from front to back, go to from back to front, go from chronological, go from however you go. I'm not concerned about that. But I'm very clear, you know, I'm pretty blunt. I want everybody, I'd love everybody to make a commitment to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to try to get into that book every day. May not be as much as I should. May not be as much as others, but I want to get into that book every day. Believers, Christian people, have always been known as people of the book. Can I challenge you to be that person of the book today? And just for a moment, if you're here today and you're not a person of the book necessarily, maybe you do read some, but not a lot, can I tell you what the book says about our most striking need, and that is for everybody to know the author of the book, which is God, and know Him through salvation. This is just not some other book that a group of men put together. The Bible said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Lord. Use men, but He's the one that authored, and He wrote it to us. So we would know how to live, and the first thing that we need to do in order to know how to live, and that is to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, my friend, Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross for you. If you would put your faith in Him alone for salvation, He says He'd save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promises of this book. And then if you're saved, the Bible says that you need to walk by faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says you need to live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says you need to die in faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's all around this book. Would you be somebody who grabs it, says, Lord, I'll get in it. If you're here and you're not saved, would you say, I'll trust it and I'll receive Christ as my Savior? Let's be people of the book. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Dear Lord, I ask you that you'd help each and every one of us. If we're saved, dear Lord, in this house, I pray that we would make a commitment to you that God, please help me, but I'm going to strive to get in the Word of God every day. Again, I'm not concerned about I miss 2 days from now. That's all right. 3 days from now, get back into it. If I miss 5 days from now, that's all right. Get back in it 6 days from now. That's not my intent. My intent is what our intentions are. Lord, I pray that we'd have a group of Christians that would ask you, Lord, give me strength. Help me to get in the Word of God a little bit every day and let it get into me. And then, Lord, if there's one or several that are not saved, either in this house or listening or watching, Lord, I pray you'd show them their need of salvation today. All of us are sinners, your Word says. Every single one of us. All of us. If we got what we deserve, we'd have to miss heaven and go to a horrible place called hell. That's where I deserve to go. But Jesus died for our sins so that everyone could miss that and go to heaven. And Lord, I pray if there's one or several that are not sure that Jesus is their Savior, that today they would reach out to Him in faith and they would call upon Him in faith, ask Him to be their Savior. Whatever the need is for every heart, I pray that we would do business with you, dear God, I pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're able to, would you stand together with us as the instrumentalists begin to play something through? And this is your time right now. Well, it's the Lord's time to work on you. But right there where you stand or sit, wouldn't you make a prayer to the Lord? Lord, if you'd help me, I do want to be a person of the book, not just so I can know more about it and tout my knowledge, but so it can help me in the times that I need it. I can have my faith built. And wouldn't you make a prayer to the Lord right there where you are? Lord, help me get into your Word again and again and again. You say, but preacher, I don't always understand it. Newsflash, neither do I. But there's some parts in there that kind of baffle me. Yeah, me too. But just because I don't understand everything doesn't mean I don't get in it. Let's get in the Word of God. Now, if you're here today, before we leave, Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, the Bible, we believe the Bible has the answers for everything. That's what it says. And the Bible has the answer of how you can go to sleep tonight knowing your sins are forgiven, knowing heaven's your home, knowing you don't have to worry about where you're heading when this life is over. If that's you tonight, today, and you'd like to speak with somebody and have them show you from the Word of God how you can be sure of heaven, sure your sins are forgiven, the Bible's got the answer. Would you step out and come? As they play one more verse, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in here the second Sunday of this year into church together with you. We've got a wonderful crowd in here. And thank God for each of you and those who have joined us in other avenues. We're thankful for that as well. I'm going to slip out to the lobby. My family and I will be out there. If you need anything, we'd certainly be glad to help you. I do want to push, Brother Dan, you already mentioned it, the couples retreat coming up in just a little over a month. If you're a married couple in here, I would love nothing more than for you to come to the We Still Do couples retreat. It's over in Pigeon Forge. The price is very, very reasonable. It's really what we've got in it. A little bit. We'll lose some money on it, but so we don't try to make anything. The information is on the back. If you'd like to sign up, we'd love to have you come and go with us. And we'll have a great, great time together. There's also at that sign-up table the information about the ladies' event that's coming up just here in a couple of weeks. And so we'd love to have you ladies sign up for that. You'll be a wonderful time together. So thank you for being in church today. I'm going to ask Brother Marty, if you don't mind, to come slip up to the pulpit and pray for us. And as he prays to dismiss us, you pray with him that the Lord would go with us and bless. And let's, again, be people of the book.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what your words meant to me and what the difference it's made in my life. Lord, I pray that you'll help us all to apply it to our lives, to seek you out in it. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each one here. Thank you for the opportunity again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.